There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour on Tuesday. And let me remind you, I did last hour, but we talked to my buddy Mike Bunn. That was yesterday. He's with Historic Blakely State Park and their Battlefield Blitz. And he said it. I think he's probably right. The only 5K or 1 mile fun run that runs through a battlefield happens right here and in our home turf. And actually, my next guest, real home turf of Baldwin County. But the sign up is open now at blakelypark.com, or you can just you can show up early. But they're going to cut off the registration, I think, at 7:30 on Saturday morning. But that's going on. What a great time to get out and enjoy Blakely. You know I love that place. And speaking of Baldwin County, and I don't know, you or deputies running in the Battlefield Blitz at Blakely?
I'm sure we have a few, Sean, because we have, those guys do all kind of CrossFit training and a lot of different competitions, the Spartan competition. So I'm sure we have some guys there.
And it's good to get Sheriff Lowry back in here. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Got to go. There's a lot I want to talk to you about, but I got to go straight to this immigration discussion, because not only is it the big story right now since Trump's come in, but the last time you were here, mm-hmm. I went through these scenarios. I was like, okay, Sheriff, your deputy pulls over the vehicle. The people have no documentation in there. And what do you do? And you told me back then, I can only do so much, right?
Yeah, we can only do so much. I'll say it like this. A few years ago, when we stopped somebody on the side of the road, we had the ability to call Border Patrol or HSI, and they would give us a yes or no whether they were going to put a detainer on the person. Well, as you know, the past few years under the Biden administration, the answer was no every time. So essentially, it does no good to call anymore. But I will say, with the change in the administration and even leading up to the 20th, that outlook that those guys were taking became much different. And so yesterday alone, our guys working interdiction on the interstate, I think they arrested six people.
Wow.
That detainers were put on by the federal government.
That's one of the wild things, and to hear it from you, Sheriff, because an executive order changed, a new person in the White House, and this is 180 from what it had been. And I get so stuck. I'm a rule of law kind of person. And well, wouldn't the law say that this is the way it is? But it was that fleeting, that ephemeral.
Absolutely. Ephemeral. It was policy that was set in D.C. that filtered down to the people that, work for the federal government here in Mobile and Baldwin counties and those along the border. And I know the people that work the border, they've got to be so excited having the ability to go back and enforce the law where they don't have to sit there and watch people intentionally violate the law in front of you with no ability to stop it. So, it's a great day for Baldwin County and for the United States.
Yeah, and reading through when Trump put out the order, it was that, it's an emergency situation with the border. Also, and I don't have the language in front of me, but to promote interagency memorandum of understanding,
right,
or something. So is that what y'all do with the feds? You enter into something that says, we can do X, Y, and Z, or how does that work?
Well, so right now, currently, we have a task force member assigned to Homeland Security, and we have a couple to Secret Service and different federal agencies. Well, of course, what's happened with the president coming in, he's ordered those agencies to all work together. So some of our task force people are all working with them, and they're planning their own operations. That's something totally different than when I was talking to you about with us happening upon somebody in a domestic or happening.
Right, they're doing they're doing their sweeps, but
right.
Yeah,
right. So there'll be that aspect out there, and I really don't want to dig into that too much because that's still really in the planning phase. I do know that that's coming.
And but you can tell me what goes on along I-10. You pull somebody over,
absolutely.
They have no documentation.
They have no documentation, or they have more times than not some type of false documentation.
But Wait a second. So in the past, Sheriff, if you pulled over the vehicle, they produced some kind of fake, is a better word. I was going to use BS, but fake, fake documentation. You then would call. And if they said no, there's no detainer, that person...
Unless we could generate a state charge on them, they had to be released.
Because if you pull me over, coming down I-10, and I give you a fake ID, I don't know why at 52 I'd have, but I have a fake ID, you're going to take me to jail.
Yeah, we'll take you to jail, yeah. So...
It's so frustrating. And I can't imagine being on the front lines of this.
And it's been, I'll say, it's been kind of a relief. I've talked to some of these officials in HSI, the people that are higher up, and they are happy because there's a lot of things that they were, their hands were just tied, and those things are gone. And that's the reason a lot of those guys joined those organizations, was to be able to enforce these laws and protect the border of the United States.
Yeah, I mean, I think about overall what, when stories come up, what it means for morale for law enforcement. But the chronic situation of, you got this job, all right, everybody, let's get out and get them today, except really don't get them.
No, exactly. You know, exactly. And I'll say this, the state back, you know, years ago tried to pass a lot of these laws that would give us that authority.
And watch what happened in the Ninth Circuit, right?
And it was taken away from us. So now I think that you'll see some things change. I know that, and you can pull it up yourself, House Bill 7 is one of the pieces of legislation that's been proposed. I read through that last week. It has some really good parts in there that would really benefit state officers like mine. So you like it?
Would you hear from other sheriffs? Should they...
We've talked about it briefly. The snow cut our sheriff's meeting short. We were discussing
that last
Sheriff, week.
Sheriff, if anybody should be able to traverse the state, but it's the sheriff's.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I'll say this. I wanted to be back in Baldwin County before that state of emergency hit. So anyway, but it has some very positive aspects, and it gives our deputies the ability to enforce some of these things and be a part of these memorandums of understanding that we weren't currently doing. So there are people out there in the state really working hard to try to help us accomplish this mission.
And Sheriff, with those MOIs, does the information get to travel both ways? In other words, coming from the feds, maybe telling you that there's people here, or can you say, hey, there's people here? Because I was wondering, I mean, you've got to have intel on groups that...
Sure,
but that are not the best. That are not the best visitors legally to our country, right?
And I'll tell you, I won't give up his name, but I did talk to a person inside the federal government, and he just said, "Anthony, I'm just going to tell you, some of these people have more rights than American citizens. It's a very difficult process." And more that I've read on that, you know, I don't think he's that far off. When we get a detainer, it's not like a warrant. I can't go into your house anymore and go drag you out of there or develop probable cause. It doesn't allow you to do those things at this time.
But as a group going forward here, you said how many yesterday? Six?
We had about a half a dozen yesterday throughout our entire patrol division, special operations.
Then do you take them to Bay Minette to the
jail? And I'll say this. So normally when we arrest someone on a felony, we'll take them to the closest to police department. That might be Robertsdale. That might be Gulf Shores. And then they're ultimately taken to Bay Minette. But all felons go to Bay Minette. The cities are really good to us right now. They're helping hold for them. And we're still running our transportation units. And they'll pick them up twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and take them to Bay Minette. We've worked out with Homeland Security. I've increased the number of beds that they can have, and I can do that again should it get to that point. But they've also made a commitment that they're going to do what they have to do and follow the law and get those people out of my jail twice a week, Tuesdays, Fridays, or Mondays,
Thursdays. Pickup day, and you know they're coming.
You know they're coming, and you know they're going. And, you know, it's a good opportunity, too, for other federal agencies, the FBI or DEA. They know that if they get their person in jail that day too, that they'll also go away in the federal transport. So, it's a thing that's
This has changed. I mean, y'all, I'm just listening to the sheriff talk, but from the last time you were in to now, it seems if it's not 180, it's dang close to 180 change.
It's an absolute 180. That just the perception and the ability to handle the illegal immigration.
Wow, coming back more with Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Welcome back, Midday Mobile, and a treat to get Baldwin County Sheriff Anthony Lowry in. I mean, I always like to just catch up, but what a time right now, too, to be in law enforcement and situations that have had people talking for a long time. I'm going to ask this quick question from the text line, then I want to get into some of the policies of past administrations. Brandon said, ask the sheriff if those guys with three cars hooked together headed back to the border are usually legal or not.
Yeah, my understanding, or at least my experience, most of those guys are legal, because once they got into the country, if they were illegal, you couldn't shove them back to the border.
They're willingly taking these vehicles going back into Mexico.
Right. So these vehicles, and you see the shape they're in, but they still have a lot of value in Mexico. So they're absolutely legal, and they're continuously crossing the border as part of their commerce, and it keeps, you know, that's how they're making money. So I really don't have issues with them. Most of the issues we have are people that got across the border and they're not going back, Sean. They're hiding out and doing what they're supposed to.
And I'm always impressed with how great they're doing pulling three cars in a row.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are doing good. Yeah, something we talked about during the break. And as we talk about policies changing, you said it. It's 180 right now. Yeah. And for y'all. But there's been things rolled out in the past. I just started, when I was talking to you, I said, oh, E-Verify. E-Verify was this big thing, was going to fix this. Because you talk about the people that want to hire somebody, and that person, you says, you and I were talking about that people will hire somebody, and they're given documents,
right,
and they're not police officers. They're not
sheriffs. Right. I have examples of friends of mine that own private businesses in Baldwin County, own farms in Baldwin County, and they're given documentation to them that looks real. And, of course, it looks like to me that some of this documentation is just stuff that they ordered off of the internet. And every year they'll order new documentation with fresh dates on it.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, I had a farmer call me this morning first thing, and they're generally concerned. They house immigrants on their property, but all of their immigrants are illegal. They have an 11-month visa, I believe he told me, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure they're legal.
Where does that onus of responsibility fall? I mean, obviously, I would imagine somebody came in with something written in crayon,
right,
that said,
right,
I am legal.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that's on the business owner, the farm owner. But if you're talking about these things that look pretty realistic, how are they supposed to do without, and I thought E-Verify was going to fix all that, but.
Yeah, you know, Sean, we talked about it just briefly during the break. You know, E-Verify started, you know, it like a ball on fire. Everybody was E-Verifying everything, mm-hmm, in the past few years of the last administration. I can't tell you when that's come up again.
Isn't that crazy with all this money spent and the rollout and all that? And if y'all haven't thought about it, like I hadn't until just now, it just kind of went away.
Well, right. Well, it was the intent of the previous administration. They had, to create constituents. They weren't trying to keep the borders closed.
So with this change, do you think it's a big enough issue that it's going to be more? Is it going to be the same hours that your deputies are working, but they're having more interactions? Or do you say, if this changes and morphs going forward, is this more work on the deputies?
Well, obviously we're responsible to the people of Baldwin County and to keeping them safe and handling all the normal calls for service. What I suspect that we'll see down the road is once some of these MOUs are signed, and we already assign a lot of deputies to different task forces to work anyway, DEA, FBI, HSI, all of those sort of things. What I think you'll see is you'll see some funding come forward from the federal government. If you participate in these programs, they'll let your deputies work an extra 4 hours a day after their shift, work on Saturday, Sunday, to help enforce some of these immigration laws. I think that's where we're headed.
That seems efficient. That's good.
It is.
Extra hours for deputies, too.
And it's good for the people of Baldwin County, mm-hmm, because they're not having to fit the bill for this.
Yeah.
We're going to charge them to house them inside the jail under our marshal contract. So financially, it's a good thing for Baldwin County.
We talked about HB7 for a second, but I want to ask you as well. And I don't know what that House bill or Senate bill number is, but the Alabama Glock switch ban, mm-hmm, and I don't know what number it is, but y'all can look it up. It's pre-filed bill,
right?
Because I know that the feds have a law, and you and Sheriff Birch here and police departments have, right, used this before. But why is it important to have it as state law?
Well, one, the feds they're not going to detain any juveniles whatsoever. And so, and in Baldwin County, I don't mind telling you, a lot of our violent crimes right now are being done by teenagers, 12, 13, 14, 16, 18-year-olds. They're the ones holding the guns with the Glock switches.
Yeah, same thing here.
And the feds are not going to detain that person for them being a juvenile. So that gives us the authority to do that.
Wait, so if you were in this kind of zone here where the person was a minor,
right,
but they had the Glock switch, you couldn't use this thing that was out there. The feds can bring these hard charges. And so what could y'all do?
We charged them with what we could charge them with.
But not with a Glock switch.
Obviously, we would seize the Glock switch, but then that would be up to the U.S. Attorney's Office to decide whether they're going to prosecute that people. In our experience, during the previous administration, keep in mind, again, you're going to see a 180 in a lot of these different divisions of federal law enforcement. They were not doing that, and so I think that you're gonna see a lot more prosecution than you've seen in the past.
Okay, so y'all, Deputy Scott gets somebody, goes to a scene, you've got a juvenile now. Mm-hmm. Let's say that law passes. Okay, please, Montgomery, do that before you grandstand on other things. But if you get this passed and it goes in October, whatever, your deputy shows up. There's a 15-year-old,
right?
Okay, and they've suspect for shooting or whatever, but that gun has, or you pull them over and they've got a gun in the vehicle and there's a Glock switch.
It gives us then the ability to detain the juvenile, to take them to the juvenile detention center and at least get that case inside the court system, get it before the district attorney, and let prosecution begin.
So prosecution begin on the Glock switch.
The feds will always have the ability on a Glock switch to come in and prosecute federally if that's what they want to do, a dual prosecution. But at least we know this way it's going to get prosecuted in Baldwin County. It's going to be prosecuted in Mobile County by the sitting district attorneys.
So it's going to be, yeah, so there's not going to be any kind of loophole, anything to for it to fall through. So do you think going forward here that's going to change what is going on the streets? I mean, it's like, it all breaks my heart because it's kids affect other kids and the number of killings out there. But is this going to change hearts, or are you just going to put them inside the prisons? You know what I'm saying? Like,
some
of these people, I don't think scared of anything anymore.
No, they're not scared. And I'll tell you, it's been one situation that, you know, that they're not staying in jail for long periods of time, even when they're charged. You know, they're making bonds fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing that the bonding companies are very important out there, and I want to make sure that they have the ability to keep working. But some of these things I would like to see, that the bonds are to be approved by the sheriff for the sole purpose of the sheriff's office, the chiefs of police. We know more about that kid than what's actually, or that person that gets before the judge that sets that bond. Allow us to make the judgment where that should be a cash bond or a corporate surety or property or whatever. And that way, when you have somebody that's truly violent and you know these other things, you can request a higher bond, keep them in jail longer. And I think that's what it's going to take. So anybody that's just coming to jail and being tagged and released, I mean, what's the consequences there?
Well, that's what I was wondering, too, with your career in law enforcement. Have you watched somebody walk in there and you go, it's just turning over the hourglass knowing that they're going to?
Yeah, not just my career in law enforcement. I mean, last year, 2024, we saw it plenty of times. People came, made their bond, and
you're like, that person right there is fixing to go.
Yeah, they're causing more crime while they're out, whether it's, they have an ankle monitor on or not.
Speaking of ankle monitors, so a lot discussed for Mobile County. Mm-hmm. How about y'all in Baldwin County with your
We've had a really successful program, Sean. We have a lot of people that cut their ankle monitors. We have a division assigned to get them. Right now, the way our system works, and it's set up through our community corrections program, the judge issues a bench warrant for them. You know, down the road, I'd like to see maybe where we were allowed to do an on-view arrest for somebody with an ankle monitor. But right now, there's that little bit of just a little bit of a stopgap there. I'd like to get that resolved. But ankle monitors, they serve their purpose, and they really do help people that they can continue to get out and work and do those sort of things. But, you know, you're always going to have that group.
Is it 10%? Is it 1%? Is it?
I would say it's less than 10% that are going to just get out there and re-violate, and the recidivism is going to be extremely high. You're going to always have that group. That's why I want the ability for when I know that person – maybe we should be getting a cash bond on that and making it a little harder to get out of jail and do those things.
And actually remedial here, too. So cash bond versus a surety. What is that?
So a cash bond is what it says. If your bond's set for $100,000,
you've
got to come up with $100,000. Now, if you get a corporate surety, the bonding company has the ability to say, all right, you pay 10% of that, or you pay 8%, or they can do some different things. And that's perfectly fine in a lot of situations, most situations, honestly. Then the third thing, you can put your property up, and that happens quite often, too. Put your property up in lieu of posting a cash or corporate surety bond.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact that somebody doesn't have to slap leather for the whole amount,
yes.
they're really risking $8,000 versus $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. So that's it.
Or whoever's putting it up.
But certainly we have some really good bonding companies in Baldwin County. They work really well with us. They communicate well. And so we can overcome some of those things. But inevitably, and I've noticed it with these younger groups of shooters, to me they need to stay in jail a little bit longer. Just touching and going's not correcting the behavior.
Yeah, I've watched this. They go back out on the street and do the same thing that brought them in there.
Absolutely.
All right, coming back, more with Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Now, I've gotten to wear, except when it's really, really cold, that e-bike I got from Adventure Earth Bicycles is something I try to ride several times a week. But warm weather is on the way, and maybe you're going to just toying with the idea of these e-bikes. I'm going to tell you right now, it's the right decision. Back in my 50s now, I'm riding bikes. Didn't ride bikes since being, I don't know, early 20s, and got back into it because my buddy Clint Jameson, he's always been in the bicycling world, and he got me started on these e-bikes. And at Adventure Earth Bicycles, they have 400 of what he calls the Amish bikes, the non-electric bikes, in stock at any point. They're also a good old-fashioned bike shop, do the repairs, do the tuning, all that kind of stuff like in the old days. Well, we got a shop like that in Mobile. But in addition, in the e-bikes, he has 75 in stock at any point in time. Back when I bought mine, I think it was probably maybe a little better than half of that, and he still had a big selection. And why that's important is, and Clint knows, but he's known me for a long time, and he kind of had some idea of what I want to do with the bike, and he selected a few for me to test ride. But they're not just, I talk about my off-road e-bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles, but he's got on-road ones, hybrid ones. Some have different battery power for distance, different accessories. So there's a bunch to it. He's going to find the right e-bike for you, and you get to take a test ride on all of them and find that one that's just perfect like I did. Go see him. You can go to the website and peruse if, you know, on the boss's time, don't get caught, at adventure-earth.com. But the best thing and the most fun thing is to see him in person. He's at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, continue our conversation with Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry. And I want to say this, too. We talked about some heavy issues here. Y'all's response to the snow, didn't hear anything but accolades, so good for you.
I appreciate that. And I'll say this, the guys really, they got out and worked, and Lord knows how many people they pulled out of ditches and different things like that. And knock on wood, we were able to get through without wrecking any of our own vehicles. Not something that we were able to.
Did that make you nervous, Sheriff? Like, well, what kind of body damage are we going to see from this?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking maybe like the over-under was around 7.5 when I was going into this. That was after, you know, the 2014 ice storm. That just really put a bad taste in our mouth. But I'll say we learned. We started buying a lot more four-wheel drive vehicles, and I think that probably paid off during the snow. But, yeah, so our guys got out and worked really hard, and really proud of them.
It's funny you're talking about pulling people out of ditches. I said this going into the snowstorm like I did coming off the 2014 ice storm. It's why those of us that drive trucks will have a tow strap, or people have a winch or all that. We get that just hoping to be able to help somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got this winch. I've never really even used it. But if I got a situation where I can pull somebody out of a ditch, this is going to be great.
And I'll say this is a little short story, and it's really more storm related. But we have some guys that if there's a hurricane and, say, Florida's evacuating and we know that I-10 is going to be inundated, those guys load up jacks, impacts, and they're just sitting up and down the interstate helping anybody they can help while they're in Baldwin County. They're loaded up with water and all that sort of stuff, and that's not something mandated from the top. That's just something that they do. That's just part of what they believe in service. It's a really cool thing, and so you saw a lot of that same stuff during the snow.
Because the public safety is number one. Public safety, the roadways are number one. But you have to deal with, I know y'all do this a lot, but you had to deal with humans and human Absolutely. Emotions. And, I, you know, you get people stuck on I-10 there, that section by sure. Malbus. And I imagine people got frustrated.
But. Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you this, and some of the really unsung heroes are the people that work for MedStar and 911. You know, being on the 911 board, we were kept up throughout the storm. And the MedStar, they were doing everything they could to handle these calls. But even they had to start prioritizing calls as it got really bad. So some calls that just they could not get to. And to me, that had to be so hard to sit in there listening for a person you know needing help and not being able to get to them. Yeah. But they did a tremendous job, too, so I'm really proud of them.
I don't know, do they make – I know they used to make like an Econo line that was four-wheel drive. Can we get ambulances and four-wheel drive?
They actually were able to get some four-wheel drive ambulances good. Into Baldwin County just for this event. So they really worked hard. Yeah, they did a good job, Sean.
And I imagine there's some long hours for your deputies, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, the call volume was low because people stayed inside, so it mm-hmm. gave them an opportunity to get out and do some community service and helping people along those lines. So that was really good.
All right, let's also talk about looking forward to the months to come, the thaw out. And I don't know what the population increase is from what – if y'all ever can get a number – yeah, you get a number of residents of Baldwin County – and then the number of people in Baldwin County yeah. come – I mean, spring break is not that far off and going uh-huh. through that through the summertime – that is kind of a weird thing. If you staff to, do you have to, you staff to serve the constituents and the people of Baldwin County, but the people in Baldwin County number is yeah. a lot higher than that.
Absolutely. Well, there's a way to do it. So obviously, you know, the population of Baldwin County is approaching 300,000 really rapidly if it's not there. But then when we have big weekends, 4th of July, Labor Day, mm-hmm. Hangout Music Fest, any of those things where we have a lot of people coming into Baldwin County, well, you know, that could be another 100,000, 150,000 people that we're going to have to service.
An increase by half.
Right, by half.
Wow.
But
I knew it was a lot. I didn't know.
And I haven't seen the end-of-year reporting numbers, but we'll get about 110 or 120,000 calls a year coming into our communications center. And so you really try to base your staffing off of those calls, not necessarily just the population as the lone factor.
Because, yeah, the majority of folks right. aren't going to need you.
That's right. Most of the time they're not. They're going to be fine. One thing that we saw, you know, especially after COVID, our school resource officers weren't working schools anymore because schools were closed. So we put them on the beach to help with the people down in Fort Morgan, our jurisdiction there. Well, that's one of those things. Once it got started, we'll never be able to stop it because people loved it, you know.
So, and they were tasked with just patrolling the beach?
Just patrolling the beach. We put our Polaris on the beach and any other equipment, and we started assigning people to work down there day and night, two or three people at a time. And the community really embraced them. The Sassy Bass folks, everybody. I don't think they wanted for anything, Sean, honestly, down there. People were bringing them in for lunch and having a good time. I think they
if I'm one of your deputies, I'm like, hey, Sheriff, how about I get on that detail?
Yeah, well, it's a preferred detail, okay. No doubt. And so, but that's one of those things where a little bit of service went a long way with that community.
You know, there's more high-arcing questions I want to ask you, but I'm going to have to delve in just self-serving here. So I watch y'all use those in South Baldwin, the Polaris. I watch Town of Dolphin Island Police Department use them on the mm-hmm. island a bunch. How do y'all keep them from rusting?
You cannot do it.
Okay.
It can't be done, but I'll say
is that the most good old boy question that could ever come out of a talk show host's mouth? But I mean,
there's nothing to go in our shop and see two of those up on lifts having all the parts replaced from underneath it.
I look at them and I go, how do they keep them from just...
Yeah, it's tough, but they're such a valuable tool. You got to have them down there. It's just the cost of doing business at that point.
Okay, so that was just my aside yeah. there. I had you in, could ask that question. Now, on not so fun of a note, but big arrest here, another one of these arrests, and that's what drives me for pedophile child porn guy, this arrest made yesterday. You know, I have this weird question I always ask. When are you going to fish out the lake? You know, it baffles me that the number, not just y'all in Baldwin County, but Mobile County, around the world, individual cities, and these arrests are coming out every week. There's yes. one of these. And I just have this idea, like, well, eventually they're going to fish out the pond and they're going to get all these people.
No.
But
they're
this
just
person
too,
had
too many. Yeah.
What it said, 3,500 images.
Yeah. Now, when we got the tip on him, Sean, and that's the guy from, is it Fairhope? Is that what?
Yeah, so this is a story that investigators of Baldwin County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant at the home of 66-year-old Kenneth Greer of Fairhope, Alabama.
Right. And he was described to us during the tip as being one of the worst offenders that we've ever come across. So certainly we put a lot of resources in there. You know, that's one thing that we've done over the past 12, 16 months in the sheriff's office. We've assigned a lot more people to that program, taking those Google tips and different tips that we get.
So people can give you anonymous tips?
Google is the one doing it. They're saying
explain that. Tell me.
So essentially, someone Googles a child porn image or some downloads a child porn image, we can get a tip from Google saying that that image was downloaded to a phone or a device.
So and Google's then, helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. They're helping out. And so that's the way we get a lot of them. You know, certainly we look at phones that they're like everybody's computer, too. So you do a search warrant on the phone. What I learned during the snow, unfortunately, is, you know, we spent a lot of money. It cost maybe $1,000 to get into that phone with a Gray Key program or something. So we only buy so many a year. But now it's to the point we're going to have to buy probably an unlimited because we have that many cases.
So is it a third party sent it off to who opens it, or is it
no? We use the third party software inside our facility. We've purchased that.
But it's a per use, like okay, we got to use it here.
It's per use per device, especially with Apple devices. They're hard to get into, and so we're going to have to. We were going to hold April was our contract renewal, and I told them let's move forward to getting the unlimited number because there's just that. I don't want to be picking and choosing between cases.
No, open them all up.
How do you do that? You know, so we're going to open them all up.
But the fact that you're going have to go to an unlimited plan is disgusting.
It is. It's absolutely
right. I mean, I'm not discussing that you're enforcing the law, but that need is there. I keep thinking I have this weird idea that eventually they're going to go, well, with technology, the fact that we've rounded 90% of them up, but it's not just Baltimore, it's everywhere.
Well, keep in mind, you know, Mobile has the Gulf Coast Technology Center,
sure.
and they do a great job, and they have so many phones of their own. And obviously, we're trying to help out our municipalities. They're bringing phones to us, and then we're using them for other cases, not just child porn, obviously drug investigations or homicide investigations. All of those things, phones are critical, and it's just a change. You know how crime scene changed over the years? This is where we are with digital forensics.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that seesaw balance from what used to be boot leather, or I don't know what the police term would be for it, for investigations versus on a computer, how have you seen that change in your career?
Well, I kid about it, but I tell people, I say, I don't know how we used to solve murders without a cell phone. I don't know how we ever managed to do it, you know? It was just a different time. But the gumshoe, I think, is what you're talking
about. Yeah, gumshoe, that's it.
Yeah,
yes, it.
Yeah, but obviously now it's a critical tool. And there's a lot of other tools out there. Your vehicle, anything that's digital is going to leave a footprint. And, then, of course, that's been great in helping us solve some of these cases.
I will tell folks, I have ranted about that before with my Ford truck and a couple of others, that it opts you in. And I'm not worried about breaking laws like that. I'm worried about insurance premiums, but that's a whole there's a whole thing out there where they're selling that info to the insurance people. To my insurance agent, there's nothing to check online. It's driven slowly all the time.
And I'll even verify, we haven't arrested Sean more than a handful of times for all his driving issues.
Thank you, Sheriff. I appreciate that a lot. Coming right back more with Sheriff Lowry right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 150 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Continue our conversation here in just a minute with Baldwin County Sheriff Lowry. Right now, I want to check in with the sheriff at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. It's Blaine Price. Hey, Blaine.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, so when this started in the summer, we started talking. You said, hey, Sean, we're going to do 0% financing at Kubota. I said, well, this will be a thing for a couple months. They'll get people's attention. It's about to be February, and y'all are still doing it.
We're still doing it. We've got the zero interest financing on all of our Kubota equipment. That's every size tractor, the zero-turn lawnmowers, the RTV side-by-sides, construction equipment with the skid steers and the mini excavators. And we're still running that package deal right now on our compacts. In the L series, you buy the tractor with at least two implements, and we throw the 7x20 trailer in for free to form it more into a package for you, and all of that still qualifies for that zero interest financing to Kubota right now.
And it's got to be, you know, we talk tractors here. I got to, you know, y'all looking for tractors for me, but at the same time, thinking about the zero turns, you and I talk about, you and I got to both mow a lot of grass all summer long. And if somebody increases, y'all just think about this. If you want more free time, if you go in there, get that bigger mower, bigger cutting deck, you can get hours back every week. Blaine and I have talked about that. You know, and y'all have got those right now that people can get that 0% on. All right, Blaine, also rentals, we talk about that too. How's it looking in rental?
We're looking good in rental. We got plenty of inventory in all of our tractors, our skid steers, our mini excavators, dump trailers, equipment trailers, man lifts, a little bit of everything. So if you're looking for any type of little project, whether you're a contractor or just a homeowner looking to knock out a little project over the weekend, come by, see us, or give us a call.
All right. Give them directions.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, or give us a call at 251-947-4171.
Hey, thank you, Blaine.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. There he goes, Blaine at Parrish Tractor. Which is, you know, somewhere probably that the sheriff rides by time or two.
Well, actually, I have one of those zero turns. My wife, thank goodness, she prefers to drive it. So it's a good partnership.
I knew you had to be a smart guy to become sheriff, but that's brilliant.
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me off air how you pulled that off.
So
I need that. Because I'm looking at some of the text here. Let me ask this, maybe generalize some of these. Staffing-wise, how are y'all doing?
Staffing-wise, as far as enforcement and support personnel, we're doing really well. We're only down a handful of people. Obviously, we're getting ready to move into this new tower, and our substantial completion date for the tower is June 21st of this year.
And that'll be how many more cells?
So we didn't finish out one of the floors, but it should get us where we can house about 700 people. But it's going to give us a new kitchen, a new laundry, and a new whole communication center inside there. But I really need about 30 to 35 corrections officers to staff that new part of the jail.
Which is harder to fill, a deputy or a corrections officer?
A corrections officer. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a tough environment, and it's just not for everybody to go in there and work around a lot of people. But I'll say this, too, though, and I even put it on Facebook this week. The people that work inside our jail, I've never seen a tighter family. I mean, they love each other. They look out for each other. They celebrate everyone's accomplishments together. So I think that's the part we got to sell to the people out there, Sean. If you want to come and work at a great agency and make good money doing it, that's one thing. But if you come here, you're going to be part of that culture, and they're going to take care of you, and they're going to make sure you're safe and try to enjoy the job to the best that you can. So
but you're looking, I mean, that's significant, 30 to 50.
Yeah, that's significant. You know, we have around a little over 120 or something right now. So percentage-wise, I guess it's not that many, but we absolutely got to get those numbers up. And we're running a class right now. And we're basically starting a class every few weeks for our corrections officers, an internal class, training class.
So somebody would get in contact with y'all, say, I'm interested.
Absolutely. Go to our website. All the jobs are posted there, and we'll set you up with an interview and try to get you started in a class. It's a great job. It's a lot of people now. That's one way that they get their foot in the door to get into law enforcement.
Okay.
So we would be more inclined to hire somebody from our jail than just off the street, somebody that we have a history with, somebody that knows that works hard, and they believe in, buy in our culture. So,
this is just opinion, but with this 180 that we've talked about and what happened in Washington, do you think it will be easier to recruit now with kind of a different feeling across the nation? Or?
Well, I think that's it. I think that some of the concerns now, you know, the qualified immunity and liability issues, you know, it's hard to get people there. I think you'll see with this administration that some of the things that were concerns in the previous years are going to go away. So I do think that's going to help quite a bit.
Okay. And rounded out on this, drug and drug issues, you know, we talk about that. Pretty much, I think, a lot of similarities between Mobile and Baldwin counties. But what are y'all dealing with is fentanyl? Gone. Is it eased off some, or is
it still? You know, it actually, the number of deaths have eased off. You know, we've worked hard.
Is that because of Narcan,
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think it's one of those deals where people are generally more scared of the drug than they once were.
Finally,
You know, the messaging is getting out. You know, there's still a lot of meth is probably still king, and But anyway, the number of deaths have finally started to slow down. And I think it's from shows like this and the stuff you see on TV. I mean, people realize fentanyl is a very lethal drug. And you're every time you touch it, you're putting your life in your hand.
I wonder if it does. I'm always looking for weird silver linings and gray clouds. If it does, because of that, move somebody into trying to ask for treatment who didn't before because of the danger. You know, if they were existing on opioids, it's one thing. They know it. They know how to manage it or whatever. It's still going to ruin their life. But now there's this thing out there that's killing people. Maybe they know.
Well, it's a roulette. Russian roulette. Every time.
Is that enough to kick somebody who before this wouldn't have sought treatment because it would be too uncomfortable to go seek treatment?
Well, certainly you would hope so. You know, all the messaging that we do and the enforcement we do, you hope you're saving some of these people and changing their mind about even attempting to use that drug for the first time. So,
yeah. And then, of course, I don't know if it's in Baldwin County, but that, why can't I come up with the word for it? The other thing that the Narcan won't work on, the tranquilizer.
Yes, the horse tranquilizer with it. It just doesn't affect the opioids where it attaches to the cell. So
just when maybe we've turned a corner, then there's this other thing.
There's always going to be another thing. I'm convinced of that. You know, there's always going to be something later, the latest, greatest thing out there. And that's that one thing. That's why you hire smart young guys and girls to get out there and work that have a lot of drive, like our narcotics units. Those guys and girls, they really work hard and put themselves out there. So,
and you get younger people, too, that could come up with that name that I couldn't come up with.
Yeah absolutely. Me, too. There's so many, Sean.
Okay. A lot to talk about here, whether it's checking on job opportunities, but also they've got an issue, whatever. What's the best way to reach out for a non-emergency call to get in touch with Baldwin County Sheriff's Office?
Well, certainly they can call our administrative number, 937-0210, and we can get them to where they need. But if they call that dispatch number, there's a few options in there that'll also direct them. One is to get you immediately in contact with dispatch if you have a emergency issue. But again, we have so much outreach out there between, you know, I'm proud to say we started a cadet program. They just competed and they won a bunch of awards, and they've only been doing it for 6 or 7 months. So that's one of our outreach programs. But we're trying to do a lot of those things, and just follow our Facebook and our social media, and we'll try to keep everybody updated.
Good deal. Sheriff, I appreciate your time. Come back and see me soon.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.